You ever notice how, like, it's always this versus that, conflict this, battle that?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like everywhere you turn, the news, maybe even your own family, it's all disagreements and clashes.
It's true. The world can feel like one big tug of war sometimes, yeah.
Right. But what if I told you today we're diving into something that flips that on its head?
Oh, okay. I like where this is going.
Right. Like, what if it's not conflict that's the big engine, but actually merging differences?
Interesting. So are we talking like finding compromise?
Kind of, but the source material calls it the fusion principle, and honestly, it's way more active than just meeting in the middle.
Fusion principle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sounds kind of sci-fi. I'm intrigued. What's the gist of it?
So instead of those forces pulling in opposite directions, they like merge, and that creates something new.
Hold on. So instead of A versus B, it's more like A plus B equals something entirely new and awesome. Something like that.
You got it. And the source contrasts this with what it calls the opposition principle, which is basically when those differences never get reconciled.
Okay, I'm starting to see the difference here. One's like a deadlock, nothing moves forward.
Exactly. Or even worse, the whole system could like break down.
Ooh, okay, now you're making me nervous. Let's get a real-world example in here, preferably one that doesn't involve the apocalypse.
Okay, deal. How about something techie, since you're into that?
Yeah.
The source material actually had a really fascinating example about artificial intelligence.
Oh, AI. Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
So for a long time, AI was basically stuck in this versus mindset.
Really? How so?
There was the symbolic approach, which relied on logic and rules, very structured.
Right, I've read a bit about that.
And then there was the connectionist approach, which was all about mimicking the human brain with artificial neural networks.
Yeah, those two always seemed like oil and water, totally different approaches.
Exactly. And the source argues that for years, progress in AI was slow because both sides were so busy arguing, my way is better.
So it was a battle of which AI will rule the world kind of thing.
Pretty much. But then, and this is the cool part, some researchers started asking, what if we combined those approaches?
Oh, interesting. So instead of a war, it became more like a collaboration.
Exactly. And that's when things really took off.
Yeah.
That fusion led to breakthroughs in machine learning, natural language processing.
Wait, so that's Siri or Alexa that I'm always yelling at. That's actually an example of this fusion
You
principle.
got it. Pretty wild, right?
It really is. And it makes you wonder if AI can benefit from a little fusion. What about something like, I don't know, the business world? That seems like a cutthroat environment if there ever was one.
You'd be surprised. The source material actually uses Apple as a prime example of fusion in action.
Wait, Apple, as in super secretive, we do our own thing. Apple.
The one and only. Think back to the original iPod. Game changer.
Totally. But how's that fusion? It was a music player.
It was, but it was also the fusion of incredible design, easy-to-use interface.
And let's be real, Apple's marketing genius. They know how to build hype.
Exactly. It wasn't just the tech itself, it was how all those different things came together. Engineering, design, marketing, bam, fusion.
Okay, that's actually really interesting. Makes you think about what other companies out there might be using this fusion principle without even realizing it.
Totally. And that leads us to an even bigger example from the source material, something from the world of dot global politics.
Global politics. Whoa, okay, now you're really going big picture on me.
Right. But trust me, this one's a doozy. Have you ever thought about the Paris Agreement as an example of fusion?
The Paris Agreement as fusion, honestly, that's not the first thing that comes to mind.
I know, right? But when you really break it down, okay, the Paris Agreement. It just seems like every country would just be out for themselves. You know, how is that even possible?
Right. It's super complex, tons of moving parts, but that's actually what makes it such a good example of fusion in action.
Okay, I'll bite. How so?
Well, remember, fusion isn't about like magically erasing differences. It's about finding ways to like bridge them, work with them, even if it's not perfect.
Okay, so how does that apply to something like the Paris Agreement with what, almost 200 countries involved?
Exactly. Think about it.
Yeah.
You've got developed countries.
Right.
Historically, they're the big emitters.
Sure, makes sense.
Then you've got developing nations trying to grow their economies, deal with poverty. Their priorities are different.
Totally. And then on top of that, you've got island nations, and for them, rising sea levels are an existential threat.
Exactly. So many different interests, different priorities. It could have easily fallen apart.
Yeah, it sounds like a recipe for disaster, honestly.
It really does. But instead of letting those differences just create a stalemate, They found ways to acknowledge them, build them right into the agreement itself.
So, like, how did they actually DO that?
Well, they created this concept of differentiated responsibilities. Developed countries pledged to reduce emissions more and contribute more financially to help developing countries adapt.
Ah, okay. So it's like recognizing that a one-size-fits-all approach just wouldn't fly in this situation.
Exactly. And by doing that, by making space for those differences, they actually reached an agreement.
I mean, it's still a work in progress, right? Climate change isn't solved overnight.
For sure. No magic bullet. But it is a huge step towards global cooperation on a really complex issue.
It's kind of hopeful when you think about it that way, if they can find common ground on something as massive as climate change.
Right. Makes you wonder what else we could achieve if we applied this fusion principle more often.
Totally. Before we go totally pie in the sky, I do want to hear about some of the other examples from the source, especially something a little closer to home, you know.
Okay, yeah, for sure. How about those smart factories we were talking about before? Remember the whole fusion of robots and human workers?
Oh, yeah. That one really caught my attention. So it's not just about robots stealing our jobs.
That's what's so interesting. The source argues that smart factories are actually a great example of fusion because they combine human ingenuity with robotic precision. Like, imagine a factory floor where humans and robots are working side by side, each doing what they're best at.
Okay, I can see how that would be efficient in theory, but how does that actually work in the real world?
Well, for tasks that are, like, super repetitive or dangerous, robots are amazing. They never get tired, and their precision is incredible. But when it comes to things like problem solving, adapting to new situations, complex decision making, humans still come out on top. So smart factories are designed to leverage those unique human skills, not replace them entirely.
So instead of fearing robots as job stealers, we should be looking at how this fusion principle can create new kinds of jobs, new opportunities.
Exactly. It's a new kind of partnership. And the source suggests that this human-tech fusion isn't just limited to manufacturing either. They think it's going to transform healthcare, education, even creative industries. It's pretty mind-blowing.
It really is.
Yeah.
Okay, so from AI to global politics to the future of work, this fusion principle is everywhere. But I got to ask, is it always this, like, positive, rosy picture? The world is messy, right?
It's
like, it almost feels too good to be true. You know, like,
yeah.
Can this fusion thing really work in the really tough areas where there's, like, deep disagreement?
Yeah, I hear you. It's easy to get swept up in the exciting possibilities, but the source doesn't shy away from the real challenges either. In fact, they dive into a realm where conflict is, like, baked in the justice system.
Oh, wow. Okay. Talk about a 180. How does fusion even apply to something like that? Isn't it all about, like, punishment, consequences, that sort of thing?
Exactly. And that's what makes this example so fascinating. The source talks about restorative justice as this really powerful example of fusion in a totally unexpected place.
Restorative justice. Okay, I'm not super familiar with that. What's the gist?
So instead of just focusing on punishment, like you said, restorative justice tries to bring in compassion and understanding.
So it's not just about saying you did something bad, now you're in trouble.
Right. It's more about looking at the harm that was caused and how to actually repair it.
Okay, that makes sense, but how do you even begin to do that?
Well, it involves bringing everyone together. The victim, the offender, even the community.
Wow, that sounds really intense.
It can be, for sure. But the idea is that by giving everyone a voice, acknowledging the harm, you can start to find a path forward that's about healing, about accountability, not just punishment.
I can see how that would be super powerful, but also really, really hard to pull off.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely not easy. But that's where the fusion principle comes in, right? You've got these seemingly opposite forces, justice, accountability, but also compassion, forgiveness. Restorative justice tries to hold those things together. Recognize that true justice often means digging deeper.
Okay, yeah, that's making more sense now. So it's not about ignoring the wrong that was done, but also recognizing that people can change. Situations are complex.
Exactly. It's about finding a way forward that hopefully leaves everyone in a better place than they started.
Wow. This whole deep dive has been incredible. Like, from AI to iPhones to the justice system, this fusion principle is really making me rethink a lot of things.
Me too. It's really got me thinking about all the places we tend to get stuck in that us versus them mentality.
Totally.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, if we start looking for those fusion opportunities, those chances to bring things together, instead of pulling them apart,
we might just surprise ourselves with what we can achieve.
That's a great note to end on. And to our listeners, we want to hear from you. Where do you see opportunities for fusion? In your own life, your work, your community, let us know. And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep fusing those differences into something extraordinary.